I love Christmas and the way that God chose to bring his son down to us. Isn't it an amazing story? For him to be with us the way that he did that, to save us from the punishment and the corruption of sin that each of us face. He could have done it any way that he wanted to, but of course, he had it all planned out before it happened. And that is the miracle of Christmas. We're called to live and believe by faith. And I want to tell you this morning, God has made it easy for you to believe. Only if you don't want to believe is it difficult. Don't think of faith as a leap in the dark. God has made a way that you can believe. That way is the way of prophecy and fulfillment of prophecy. We didn't follow cleverly invented stories, Apostle Peter said, when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And then he says, we have a more sure word of the prophets, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns, he says, and the morning star rises in your hearts. And he's talking about belief in the Lord Jesus and then his coming again. Matthew knew it was true. He, like Peter, lived with Jesus, and he wanted those not sure, who weren't there to see him, to know that he knew, to give proof that this one, this Jesus, was indeed the God-chosen King. How we heard it proclaimed on Christmas morning, what Jesus said at his trial to Pilate. I am a king. For this reason, I was born. There are five prophecies given in the first two chapters of Matthew, and all are related to the Christmas story. The first is in Matthew chapter 1, verse 22, and I invite you to hold in your Bible as we go through these. Now I'm going to give some background on them. You can see it as it takes place, and they come in order. Matthew chapter 1, verse 22. This took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. It's taken from Isaiah chapter 7, 700 years before the birth of Christ. The setting is in Jerusalem, and the evil king of Judah, Ahaz, is on the throne, and he is a descendant in the family of King David. And two nations are conspiring against him and his nation. The northern kingdom of Israel, you know the kingdoms were divided, the northern kingdom and Judah, Ahaz is the king of Judah. And the other nation conspiring against him, Syria. Their plan is to destroy the entire royal family of David. Well, Ahaz hates the prophet Isaiah because he's always got bad news for him. But not this time. In this passage, Isaiah prophesies that he will not be defeated or destroyed. And he allows him to ask for a sign from God as proof. Ahaz refuses to speak. And then an angry Isaiah gives the great prophecy. A virgin will be with child and give birth to a son. What about Ahaz? He doesn't change. He still remains wicked. But God keeps his promise because God will fulfill what was spoken to his servant King David 300 years earlier yet. That someone from his family would reign as king forever. This prophecy tells that the Messiah would be the Son of God and also the son of a woman. So it was fulfilled. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. He is the Son of God. The next prophecy is from Matthew chapter 2, verse 4. When he, Herod, had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied. For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. This prophecy is taken from the book of Micah, chapter 5. He was warning the people, you are going to be deported to Babylon. Micah, like all the other prophets, was foretelling judgment for Israel and Judah. But in the middle of the book, hope is given for the future. Words like, they will beat their swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. Every man will sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree. That's the language of peace and security. The times of the kingdom of God here on earth. And then Micah tells the reason for the hope. And he tells of Bethlehem, out of you will come for me, one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. A king will come out of Bethlehem from days of eternity. That's language used to show God. Matthew says, so it was fulfilled. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The third prophecy from Matthew chapter 2, verse 12. When they, the wise men, had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, take the child and his mother, escape to Egypt, stay there till I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. And in a backwards way, Herod himself proclaims Jesus as king. Why else would he be threatened by a baby being born? He believed the wise men and the scriptures, but he took action against them to frustrate the plans of God. His plan to kill Jesus? He was following Satan's plan, amazingly told in Revelation chapter 12, where it says this, the dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. That's clearly what had happened here. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. But here's the prophecy that Matthew cites. Out of Egypt I have called my son. From another Old Testament prophet, Hosea. He was the one told by God to marry a prostitute, and after she had three children, left him to go back to her old ways, back into the life of prostitution. And he, Hosea, was to go and buy her back again. And the meaning was this, even though God had brought Israel out of Egypt in the early days of their nationhood, and even though they had forgotten God and gone back to their old ways, just like Hosea's wife. Yes, God would punish them and discipline them, but he would not give up on them. He would buy them back again and bring them back to himself. He himself would pay the price to bring them back, costly as it was. And here, Israel, leaving Egypt, becomes the prophecy itself. Just as God called his people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, so he would bring his own son, Jesus, out of the land of Egypt also. The rightful king who would pay for those who were lost would himself physically, literally, come out of Egypt. Matthew learned this scripture. He understood the meaning, what it meant. and so was fulfilled. Jesus and Mary and Joseph escaped to Egypt and stayed there till the death of King Herod. The next prophecy, we would not make a connection with it unless it was given us by Matthew in chapter 2, verse 16. When Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity, 2 years old and under. And the prophecy was this: a voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Rachel is the beloved wife of Jacob, and she is the mother of two of the 12, Joseph and of Benjamin. And as mother of these two tribes, one from the northern kingdom and the other from the southern kingdom, she represents all the mothers of all the people of Israel. The prophet here is Jeremiah. He's a prophet to Judah in Jerusalem. And the prophecy is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. Now, God had promised for 100 years that Judah and Israel would be thrown out of their land if they did not repent. And no one listened to him. And those days now had come, and the Babylonian army was outside the walls of Jerusalem. And then he tells them this: a voice is heard in Ramah, Rachel weeping for her children, because they are no more. And he tells them, look, your mothers are going to be bereaved. Their children will be lost. The Babylonians are coming in. Some of you will be deported. Many of you will die. And then, in a ray of hope, immediately after, he says, weep no more. Your children will return to you from the land of the north. And what he was saying was that those who were deported to Babylon would one day return, and they did 70 years later. And these children would rebuild Jerusalem and the country of Judah. And Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, picks up on this and sees the hopeless sorrow of the situation. Cruel Herod, in his jealous rage, kills all the young male children. But even still, there is hope, because the Savior has come, and in him there is hope and there is salvation. So it was fulfilled. Herod had the children of the area murdered. The true king, King Jesus, would nevertheless bring hope and salvation to the land and to the world. One more Christmas prophecy spoken of by Matthew in chapter 2, verse 21. So he got up, Joseph, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard Archelaus was reigning in Judea, in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets: he will be called a Nazarene. It was a short stay for the family, likely only months in Egypt, when an angel called them back to Israel. They intended to live in the vicinity of Bethlehem or Jerusalem, but when they found Archelaus had taken over from his father, they were afraid, and being warned in a dream, they went north to the district of Galilee, to the town called Nazareth, and that's where Joseph and Mary were from in the book of Luke. It tells of that. Archelaus was only the ruler in Judea for 2 years. He was cruel, like his father. In his first year, he had 3,000 prominent citizens killed. the Roman emperor banished him and placed a series of governors over the area. And in the year AD 26, one of those governors was Pontius Pilate. Another son of Herod's, his name was Antipas. He was king in the region of Galilee. And he is the one who had John the Baptist beheaded. The rightful king had to be known as being from Nazareth. Yes, but where is the prophecy? Where is this written in the Bible? The answer is that it is not anywhere in the Old Testament. But because Matthew quotes it, it would have been a writing or a quote from one of the prophets, not recorded in Scripture, but well known among the faithful. Matthew here recognizes it. And on the cross, these words were written. Not Jesus of Bethlehem, not Jesus of Galilee, but Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. So it was fulfilled. Jesus was called a Nazarene. There's a constant theme in the prophets. It's this. People have forgotten God. They live their lives as if there is no God. And I was just talking to someone yesterday. They said their grandchildren don't believe that there is a God. They've taken God out of the school and replaced him with science, which alone can explain the origins of the earth, they say. The outcome of all this is catastrophic. The judgment of God will come. That's the message of the prophets. Just as surely as it came to the Jews and all the other nations at that time. We don't know when, and we know little of how. But all the prophets, every one of them, everyone, there is hope. And that hope is always this. A king is coming, made king not by man, but by God. He will save his people. He will make all things right. Repent and turn to him. Matthew gives us these scriptures to prove Jesus is the king. And I'm a Christian today because of these prophecies and more like them. Folks, I want to believe, but if I don't have real proof, it won't stick. We have real proof recorded in the Word of God, and that tells me something. It tells me God is not a liar. Everything he says, he will do. Some people, maybe those in power, like King Herod, even Satan himself, think they can alter what will happen. But where man rules, God overrules. I heard this, and it helps me understand. Suppose I get on a ship, and that ship sails northward. But on that ship, I'm walking south. On that ship, I'm walking south. The ship is heading north. Now, where will that ship end up? If I'm walking south, yet the ship is going north, it'll end up in the north, regardless which way I walk. You can't stop God. In his heart, a man makes plans, but the Lord determines his steps. And because these prophecies have come true, we can have confidence that the rest will too. Something else it tells me. Only God can tell the future. You know, folks, people have tried, even Christians, well-meaning, they've tried and failed. We can't even predict the time of our own death. God, in this way, made it easy for us to believe. The proof is there. Jesus was a real person, born to a virgin, born in Bethlehem, escaped to Egypt, grew up in Nazareth. And you know, with all this proof, most people still will not believe. But praise God, even in the darkest despair, when days seem the most hopeless, as in the days of the prophets, God has a hope for his people. I have hope. There is real hope. And my only hope is in Jesus Christ, who died for me. He said, "All who come to me, I will in no wise cast out." And he said, "I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." Hallelujah. I heard this saying, when the eye is right, when the eye is right, it sees. And when the ear is right, it hears. And when the heart is right, it believes the truth. And one day, I'm sure of it, I believe it with all my heart, that this word of God will again be proven right, and we'll be with Jesus. And then it'll be said again, "So it was fulfilled." Amen.